Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's just been talking to his guest about people who have one ball. It's Richard Herring. The guy from the Ivory Coast football team who scored the goal for Ivory Coast in the African Nations one ball. There's one good one, because it's Nigel Farage, Hitler, Lance Armstrong, Graham Linnan. It's... I thought it was a punishment for being evil. Anyway, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre. I was talking to Roland and Pogo Patterson the other day. I must have done these guys before, but they're definitely the coolest. They were doing the school disco. They were at the Decks. They call it Ralistifer. I've literally just watched the video. There's a video of the end credits of one of the series of Grange Hills where Roland... You're all too young. Remember Touché Turtle? They're at the Decks, and it's all the carrots, and the credits go, and they're all dancing together. And it's they're dancing to True by Spandau Ballet. It's exactly my era of school disco, and also they feel like you went to school with them, right? The Grange Hill. Do you remember Grange Hill? Are any of you old enough to remember... Fucking hell. The reason I was talking about balls backstage is because tomorrow morning, as we record this, I'm staying over in London because I'm on Good Morning Britain tomorrow to discuss my upcoming stand-up tour, Can I Have My Ball Back? I don't like to talk about it, but I lost a testicle. Someone took it off me, I knew it was there. And it's mainly remarkable because the interviewer they've chosen to interview me is Ed Balls, which I think that's a hate crime, right? That is a hate crime right there. I'll take him up on that. What if Ed Balls loses a ball? What will he do? So do tune in tomorrow at fucking 7:50.
Could have had a sleep. I haven't done much since the last recording, last week. But I tried to make... I'm on this Zoe diet, which is quite good. I'm faltering a little bit, but I've done it for about 4 or 5 months and it's been quite effective. They'd sort of recommend foods that are good for you. And I tried to make bread out of red lentils this weekend. It did not go well, I have to say. There's a reason they don't make bread out of red lentils. Is what I'm going to tell. That's the reason historically bread's been made out of whatever they make bread out of. Could be wheat. Could be wheat. Thanks, nuclear physicist. You had to soak. What you do, it's not just... So what you do, you soak the red lentils. I took a big pack of red lentils, 500 grams, soak them, and then you've got to blend them. They turn into this kind of horrible kind of pink paste. And then you've got to put them in a bowl and cover them for 2 days. And then you pour it into a... This is what you meant to pour it into a cake, a bread tin, and then put it in the oven for about 45 minutes. I didn't get that far because I covered it and for 2 days and it stank so bad. After 2 days, imagine some lentils left for 2 days in some water. Imagine what that's like. It smells worse than you think. And I can't get the stink out of my nostrils. So that might be why it works, because you'd never want to eat food again. But I'll be talking about my many gastronomical triumphs with our upcoming guest. He is probably best known for killing and eating Long Boy, the long-necked duck. We'll talk about that now. It's Ed Gamble, ladies and gentlemen. It's Ed Gamble, the murderer, duck murderer. He's a duck murderer. He killed it up.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. They haven't heard about Long Boy, these people, I can tell.
No,
from their
they
reaction.
Haven't heard about Long Boy. I hadn't heard about Long Boy until about 3 days ago.
Right.
Long Boy is a duck who became a meme about a year ago for being Britain's longest duck.
not longest living duck.
No, he's not, because he's dead, crucially. That's very crucial to the story. He's Britain's longest duck. He's an Indian runner duck. And lived on campus at the University of York.
Yes.
And the students loved him, and he went viral as, like, you know, what a cute guy, Long Duck, Long Boy the Long Duck. And Greg James at Radio 1 picked up on the story and talked about Long Boy every week. Then Long Boy went missing.
Yeah.
And after a while, they basically had to say, we think Long Boy is dead. And then on the Great British Menu, which is a cooking show that I'm a judge on, one of the chefs cooked runner duck. And I ate the runner duck as a judge and said, oh, that's delicious. The Greg James Radio 1 breakfast show picked up on this and decided that I ate Long Boy.
Yeah.
I had no warning that this was coming, by the way. It just went out on the Radio 1 breakfast show, which people do listen to, quite a lot of people, saying, oh, Ed ate Long Boy. I like Ed Gamble, but he ate Long Boy. He ate my best friend, is what Greg kept saying. And rather than speak to me about it, what they decided to do the next morning was call James Acaster about it. And James texted me going, they're calling me about this Long Boy the Duck thing. I've told that I think they want me to throw you under the bus. I will, but I've suggested to them it'll be quite gentle and it'll be quite a normal chat. I was like, well, they do not know you then. And James went live on Radio 1 and said that I exclusively eat famous animals. And who did he say I'd eaten? That I'd eaten every Blue Peter pet in my lifetime. And that I was going after the golden dish, which is Pudsey the Bear. So then I did get to go on the show in the end, and really, because then I sent Greg James a pic. He put a picture of his dog on his Instagram story. So I put a salt shaker above it and sent him. This wasn't publicly. I sent that to him privately, way more threatening, and said that I'd already had Pudsey's eye and I was going back for the rest and all of this. So, yeah, Long Boy the Duck.
Good.
R.I.P.
It's a good emergency question if you had to kill and eat a famous animal.
Yeah.
Which is there one that you would really like to eat genuinely? A famous animal? And how would you prepare?
Yeah, I mean, Long Boy did look delicious. I'm not sure. Nice. The mad thing about it is it's University of York. I then spoke to the chef who's based in Northumberland and he genuinely did source the ducks from York. So it could have been Long Boy. Maybe Aslan?
Yeah. He'd come back, though. You'd eat him and he'd come back.
Well, there you go. That's the perfect regenerative farming.
It's nice. Very good. My next question is, are you still doing that podcast about food? Is that still going?
Yeah, we dip our toes in now and again. Yeah.
It's good.
I just keep say, can up. I say, I watched Rosie's episode last week and just thought it was fantastic. I thought I'd come back this week and do one. And you'd see Richard, he's so good when he's like interviewing and he's asking serious questions and funny questions as well. But it was like the interview felt like it had real heft. And I'm always on fucking second at these because I know what he's doing. He's holding in all his silliness and like disrespect for the guest and just can't wait to get me on.
You had a running question on the was it on the American off, is it called Off Menu?
Off Menu, yeah.
never catch on. There was about you asked all the American people if they'd met Ice-T. Is that right?
And they if they picked Ice-T as a drink, we'd always ask them if they'd met Ice-T, and they normally had.
Yeah. Have you yet met Ice-T?
Not met Ice-T. I mean, if he's listening now, he's welcome on Off Menu anytime. Good, yeah,
I've had him on one of my podcasts.
Have you?
Yeah.
Which one?
You wouldn't guess. I think even if you went through them all, it would be your last guess.
Not Stone Clearing.
It was Stone Clearing. I was wrong. It was your first guess. Ice-T, I think, is the only other human being.
happened to be walking around the field?
He was clearing stones.
Yeah.
He was putting him back on, actually. Yeah. He was, for some reason, it was just when Cameo had started up. Going out, and I saw he was on Cameo. And I think I'd mentioned him. He'd come up in, like, my mad ramble.
Yeah.
And so then I got a cameo of him saying, wishing me good luck about stone clearing stuff. He did quite a long... It was a good value cameo. So I've sort of met him, and he's been on one of my podcasts.
You've not sort of met him, Richard.
I've interacted.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. I got a cameo off Ice-T. I've sort of met him. We're friends, I think.
I've interacted. I've changed his life a little bit more than you've done to Ice-T's life.
That's true. Yeah, I've not changed. I'm disappointed to say I've not changed Ice-T's life.
You wouldn't think Ice-T would do cameos, would you? He's one of those people I was surprised to see on there. He seemed too good to be on.
Yeah, and also cameo. I guess quite a controversial career in the world of music. You know, the famous song "Cop Killer," of course. Dear Ice-T, my dad's a cop. It's his birthday coming up. Will you say that you're going to gun him down in South Central?
Anyway, good. You have some quite.
See, not bothering to be a good interviewer anymore. No good interview. Every bit we've done that's worked, he's then ended the momentum by going, right, good, and then like putting his glasses on. Right, what other fucking bullshit can I ask this guy?
You have had some quite good guests on your thing.
Yes, we have. Yeah,
it's good. Who's been your favourite one of all?
Who's been my favourite one? These are such good questions, Richard. You don't ask me where I get my ideas from. You have genuinely asked me that before. Well, I have a terrible memory, so when we record an episode, if it comes out longer than a month afterwards, I can't remember anything about it. Yeah. But we released an episode last week with Nabil Abdul Rashid, and I think it's one of my favourite episodes because he is an incredibly informed and knowledgeable man around food and very funny as well.
Okay. Did we had Tom Hanks on?
Not had Tom Hanks on, no. Has he been on the snooker one? We're best friends. I watched Big.
I reckon it'd be good. You should try and get him on.
We should try and get Tom Hanks on as well, yeah.
Yep. Try and get him on. I might try and get him on this.
Well, I mean, by all means, try, Richard.
You get good people. I get people like you on mine, and you get quite good people on yours.
Yeah.
So,
Do not think that that's lost on me, Richard.
So look, this is a book club podcast. It's a bit this is a bit classier.
Oh yeah, it has been so far.
than the regular where we talk in depth about the book you've written. You've written sort of like an Ed Gamble annual, isn't it? That you've written.
fucking book club. When you said backstage, you went, it's going to be a book club one. I was like, it's not, mate. Yes, it is a bit like an Ed Gamble annual, yes. Take us through that thought process,
it's
Richard.
It's mainly pictures of you in funny hats. You just filled a lot.
Just because I padded out with word searches.
It's called Ed Gamble Glutton, mm-hmm. The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy. It's about...
It's not called Ed Gamble Glutton. Ed Gamble is the name of the author. What you've done there is you've read the whole cover. Yeah, no, but that's the name of the author. Like, this book here... updated with bonus questions, it's called. Brilliant Richard Osman, hilarious Dawn Friend, Richard Herring emergency questions. Fucking hell, I mean, even the title is genuinely too long. That's...
It's good, but it's good, Ed. You've done a good job.
More Thank you. It's That's it. That's the end of the book club, is it?
I listen to an audiobook. That's how I ingest most of my books.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's very good. There's a very good extra on the audio. Of
there
you
is.
Talking to Nish Kumar.
Talking to Nish, yeah, because there's a lot of stuff in the book about my university days, and I went to university with Nish. So I thought he'd be the perfect person to chat to about the book. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Why? Why did you write a book?
Why? How many of these book club ones have you done? Why did you write a book?
What was that? What was the thinking behind
that?
Well,
I felt like I had a lot to say about food and my life through food.
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, here we go.
Why did you write about your life through food?
Because I felt like I was thinking about... Well, obviously, I do a lot of stuff based around food anyway. Yep. It's a market that I seem to have found myself in career-wise. And it's just been, you know, part of my general daily life, as it has been for everyone, before you say it, yes. But it's something I've been obsessed with for a long time. It's a huge passion and also... There's stuff like type 1 diabetes and weight loss is all connected with food as well. So I thought it was a good angle for a sort of semi-autobiography.
I know what it's like to have diabetes now because I did that Zoe thing.
Yeah, I fucking hate this. I mentioned you. I heard you mention this.
Yeah.
This Zoe thing is absolute horseshit. It annoys me so much, right? Yeah. You put a thing in your arm that tells you your blood glucose level.
So I know what it's like.
Yeah, it's cultural appropriation is what it is. Do you know why you don't need that? Because you have a working pancreas. You don't need something to tell you what spikes your blood glucose level because your pancreas will then produce insulin to reduce the blood glucose level because you have a working pancreas.
Bit of fun, though, isn't it?
It's not a bit of fun. It's not a bit of fun. It's not a bit... People... I can't believe my blood glucose has gone up. All I've had is a punnet of grapes. Genuinely makes me angry, Richard.
You only do it for a couple of weeks. I haven't got it anymore.
You haven't got it anymore.
No.
And has it changed the way you've eaten?
Yeah, well, you know, it has. But you could equally just say, stop eating processed food and eat some vegetables.
Yes.
That would probably do the same job.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But it does. I think it is quite good. I've lost like 10 kilos almost straight away without trying.
Right.
But I was quite fat, as you say, and the secret of losing weight is to get quite fat first.
Yes.
And then just change what you're doing.
Yeah,
And then the weight drops off.
Hang on, when were you quite fat?
I was quite, well, I was, before, I go up, you know me, I go up and
yeah,
down.
I can't keep up.
I got thin, I was fat, got cancer, got thin, not because of the cancer, because I was being healthy, then it crept up again.
Yeah.
And then it's gone back down to where I was again. So
is your, one of your weight loss tips is get cancer?
Yeah. Get cancer and then think about you not wanting to die.
Yeah.
That's quite good. It's quite a good thing. And that worked for about a year, and then I started eating crisps and chocolate again, because they're nice. And then I've stopped again. And cool. Now I've started eating, like you talk about in the book, I've started eating dark chocolate, mm-hmm. like 90%, 100% chocolate.
Yeah. But does that mean you eat less?
Because, no, I eat way more chocolate.
Yeah. Because I basically trained myself I was eating the 90% stuff and being like, oh, you only need a little bit because it's so sort of strong and so bitter. And then I trained myself to be able to eat a whole bar of it.
Yeah, I can pretty much do that.
It's like my mum used to put that stuff on my nails to stop me biting my nails.
Oh, yeah.
And I mentally tricked myself into enjoying the taste of it. So I was like, yeah, give me some. Where's the bottle? I'm going to have a swig.
But a lot of stuff in this book genuinely, because it's, you know, it's about... I was a fussy eater, which you weren't as a kid. I was a very, very fussy eater. But I ate a lot of junk. And at university, especially the university years, kid doing comedy, eating terrible, going out, and I would just go to the Carfax Chippy and have chips. I was vegetarian, so I would just eat chips. That was my dinner. Whereas I ate a lot of pizza as well, but you ate a lot of pizza. You ate four pizzas in a day.
Four pizzas in a day, and only realised on the fourth one that I'd had four pizzas in a day. Because I was having pizza for breakfast at this stage anyway, because there was a bakery up the road from my university halls that did like slices of really greasy bakery pizza. So that was a breakfast that I'd have most days.
Okay.
And then obviously I'm having a pizza for lunch, a duck and hoisin sauce pizza from Bella Italia, and then pizza for dinner just before a show, and then pizza after the club.
Yeah, I don't think I ever ate four pizzas.
Yeah, you're a pussy.
Yeah. I mean, I'd change what I was... I just would vary my food between the fast foods.
Well...
The vegetarian fast foods.
Yeah, I was a creature of habit that day. What can I say? But, yeah, I stuck to a lot of pizza at uni, for sure. Yeah.
And so we were both, like, at uni, we were both fairly chubby...
Greedy boys,
doing comedy, failing to kiss girls after doing the comedy while the handsome boys kissed the girls?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever really tried to kiss the girls after the comedy, because I think in my brain there was no chance that was going to happen. So I pretty much gave up before I got to university. I was like, I'm going to focus on pizza. Any time trying to kiss girls is a waste of time. Where you can order a pizza and you can't order a kiss.
I mean, you can order a lot worse things than a kiss.
You can order worse things.
The kiss is the hardest thing to...
Yeah, but...
to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just have a kiss? No.
Yeah. No. That's the one thing I don't do.
But it's, you know, I find that very interesting. But you really... I mean, you committed yourself to the challenge of eating as much food as you could. And... You know, I think like, but it's interesting. I think we all, I mean, as young people, you can do it a bit anyway, but you know, you're not thinking about health and you're not thinking about, you're not even thinking really about it, using the food as a means of sustenance. It's just.
No.
It's just eating.
I was sustained from breakfast. So yeah. I could have lasted a whole day on what I had for breakfast. No, and I also wouldn't say that I went into university challenging myself to eat as much as possible. This wasn't a man versus food situation. But no, I wasn't thinking about health at all. And also, I don't think I've ever had that thing, even when I was young, of being able to eat what I wanted just because I was young. Like, right. I put on the weight like I was a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
And kept it on there for a long time.
Yeah.
So I've never had that sort of metabolism.
No, but I used to eat... I mean, if I get in the mood, I can still do it with sweets and chocolate and stuff. But I used to just eat like a whole pack of Mr. Kipling cakes or like real horrible junk.
Oh yeah, no, I do
French fancies. I'd eat a whole eight, even the yellow ones, which I didn't like. I'd eat eight French fancies.
Yeah,
no problem. I'd eat a big family pack of Maltesers. I used to when this was like when I was in my 30s. I used to like Blockbuster Video. Would do two...
You'd eat the video.
They would do two things of Haagen-Dazs ice cream for £5 or whatever it was at the time. And I would buy those two thinking I'll keep one in my fridge, freezer, and didn't bother keeping it in the freezer.
So I could get yourself by going, I'll keep it in the fridge. Oh dear, it doesn't seem to be maintaining its integrity. I better just drink it.
So I would, you know, I could pack it away and I would eat just so much junk. And so when you start eating healthily, you sort of feel a lot better. And you kind of go, oh, wow.
It's like a magic trick, isn't it? I'm like, oh, my God, I feel better in myself. I'm sleeping properly. I didn't realise I'd just been feeling shit that whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when me and my wife met, this was after I'd left university, I was still eating a lot. and she got sort of sucked into that binge eating thing. And we would go and buy like full dinners and then buy a packet of Mr. Kipling Battenbergs.
Yeah.
You know, those mini Battenbergs. Yeah. I didn't really like them, but she liked them. I was like, fine, I'll have a pack. It's like peel the icing off them and like wodge it all together in a big ball and just eat the icing and then the cake. Just when it's not even like, you're not even enjoying it anymore, so you got to start playing with it and coming up with new formats.
It's sort of extraordinary, and it's, but you know, it's sort of, it didn't like click in either of our minds, or we didn't care.
Yeah.
That we, it made us feel bad. It made us look, you know, not our best, I would say.
I just look so tired all the time. Yeah. Yeah. No, it didn't click until it did, really. And then, you know, you'd spend 1 week being like, I'm just going to eat like a normal human being and maybe go for a walk now and again. And you're like, oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's all about. There was obviously an aesthetic change as well, but still, crucially, I try and eat vaguely, sort of nutritiously, just because it makes me feel better.
Yeah,
but you know, you've done what most people don't manage, which is to get rid of the weight and not put it back on again at all.
Yes, but if I was still eating like I did at university, I would be dead, Richard. It's just keeping alive, you know.
Yeah. It's true.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'll ask you an emergency question based on the book. Which cheese, what's the worst cheese that you would still eat?
But do you mean like actual commercially available cheese, or is this one of your questions where it's like cheese made of jizz or something?
Would you eat that?
Yeah, probably. if there was some food blog that was like, oh, this cheese is made of cat jizz and it's the most expensive, delicious thing that's ever been made, I'd be like, get that cat jizz in my gob right now. You know, of course I would.
Yeah.
The worst cheese that
I would still eat. The worst cheese that you would still consider eating. Would you still be happy to eat? What's the worst one? There must be cheese that you... I know you like cheese.
Yeah.
Is there cheese that you won't eat? Is there any cheese that you will turn your nose up at?
No, God, no. Because even what people would consider the worst cheeses, like those Kraft slices and things, you know, those were specifically manufactured to melt well on burgers. So even they've got their place. Even Primula. I've eaten Primula from the tube.
Yeah, I think those are okay. I think feta, I don't really like feta, but I'll eat it.
What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I'll eat it, but I don't really like it.
What, you don't like feta?
I don't really like it. I find it a bit too much.
A bit too much?
Yeah. A bit too much feta in there.
That's most fetas are 100% feta.
It's just like, if it was a bit less fettery, I'd be more into it, but it's just all feta.
What would you like it to taste of?
I mean, I'm on a bit of feta in there. Yeah. They put a bit of feta in it and then some other stuff to make it less fettery.
Chips.
But when it's all feta, it's just too much feta.
Yeah, but what, are you eating blocks of it, or are you... Because it's good when it's like added to things.
Yeah, you add it into things, but it's, you eat it and you go, I wish this bit of feta yeah. wasn't as big as this it is, make it a bit smaller.
But that's your job. You're, if you're putting the feta on the stuff, you can't go, oh, who's made that block so big?
Because if you're putting it on a Greek salad, it's too big.
You're putting it on a Greek salad or whatever, just make sure there's a bit of tomato on the fork or, you know, an olive or a cucumber or something.
And then you eat it and then you eat the feta and it's too much feta. Well, I'd say just put something else inside the feta.
Yeah.
So that when you eat it, there's the right amount of feta and then something else nice inside.
But that's the same as putting a bit of tomato on your fork at the same time.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
Yes. Because it is, because it's in your mouth together.
Because once you eat the feta, it's all feta.
Yeah.
You eat tomato and you eat the feta, but then that's all feta and that ruins it.
But that's true if there's something in the middle of the feta.
If there was something else. Just a bit less feta. That's what I want. It's just, it was a bit less. That's for me the most.
Yeah.
You can still get cheese strings.
Yeah, I never. Cheese strings, I did write about them in the book.
They didn't exist anymore. They completely exist.
They completely exist?
Yeah.
I said they didn't exist anymore.
You said you couldn't get them anymore.
Well, I've not seen them.
So they don't exist. Hanging around in your highfalutin restaurants. Come down the supermarket with me, my friend. I will show you the cheese strings. My son loves them. Loves the cheese string. He was lactose intolerant for a while. He was furious. Now he can eat it again.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
I like it. I like the effect of a cheese string.
Yeah.
Sure. It's for me, though, a cheese string is too much cheese string.
I don't think that's possible.
I wish there was something in the middle of it.
That would ruin the cheese string for me if you did that.
I just want
to... It's not feta, is it? It's cheese. It's proper cheese.
I want a core of feta running through the cheese string.
I'm prepared to give that a go.
Yeah?
But only if it will become... Only if it will be in string form when you take it off.
Well, this... Yeah, I write about this in the book as well. There's many other foods that I'd like to see in a string form. I think that makes all foods fun, you know?
It's quite... Do you reckon you could do... Because the thing with feta, you couldn't do it as a string... Because the lumps are too big. It's too into a string. It would still be like it would
but
be
are
a
you imagining
ring.
Feta comes in regulation size lumps and it can't be broken down?
It'd be like a rope. It would be a feta rope. And that would be right back to too much feta straight away. Trying to eat that. Oh, it's all feta.
Yeah, it's all feta.
If you put the G-string in the feta, the other way around to what you're talking about, that might work.
But then how are you gonna pull the string off the cheese string? Because it's going to be all feta around it, isn't there? Make it all clammy.
You take this feta off first.
And then what you doing? Hang on. So then what are you doing with the feta? Because then if you've taken the feta off, there's no longer cheese string in the middle. It's right back to too much feta, isn't it?
Don't you ever eat a cheese string just without some string in
it? That's maniac behaviour. It's horrible. It's really nasty.
How can it be nasty? Well, that's what I'm saying. See, so now you agree.
No.
You're saying if I eat a whole cheese string, that's disgusting. But if you peel some of it off, it's okay. That was your argument about feta all along.
Well, because all the fun of a cheese string is the peeling stuff, right?
Yeah, I think there's too much stuff about feta in this podcast. it's gone into like a dead end of feta. That's not what. There's a couple of things. I've listened to this book.
He's annoyed at me. I don't know why he's annoyed at me. The interview meant about my book.
There's a couple of things in the book. I listened to it in January, and you said there was a couple of things I thought those are really good things I can bully Ed Gamble about.
Yeah. And you've forgotten them, and now you want me to remind you.
One of them was you had a really impossibly small nose. Was it ears?
Both nose and ears are both small.
They're not. Your nose is a normal nose.
No, it's a small nose, man.
No, you've got a complex. That nose is perfectly normal. I was looking forward to going, I've never looked at Ed Gamble's nose. I can't wait till he turns up and I see his tiny nose and I can laugh in his face.
So your thought process has gone from, I can't wait to bully Ed Gamble about that in my interview with him about his book. And then I've turned up and you've gone, your book's bullshit. Your nose is perfectly normal.
Your nose is normal.
It's a small nose, man.
Would you say that's a small nose?
Yeah.
Right, let's just do it scientifically. Who thinks it's a small nose? Cheer now. Who thinks it's just a normal nose? Cheer now. Hooray! Yay!
Okay, do you want to do the ears next?
The ears are a bit small.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that small, though. You can get a pair of glasses around those.
You can get them round, but they won't stay on.
Okay.
Well, because they're slipping off the front of the nose, for a start.
Yeah. You got more handsome. Is this because have you had something done to your face? I think you're more handsome than last time I saw you.
Thanks, Richard.
And in return...
I can't even remember if you're thinner or fatter than last time I saw you.
I think I'm thinner. I think you saw me. I was thin when we did Taskmaster Champion of Champions. I can't remember what happened on that. Then I was fat when we did the Edinburgh podcast. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe I was still thinnish then. Then I got because it was still. It's a couple of years.
You always look lovely. I think you age very well. You know.
I have aged very well. I'm like a fine feta cheese. I'm a bit too much if you put me in my mouth, in your mouth. Oh, it would be better if I said your mouth. If I got that right, that would have been brilliant. I've stopped drinking.
Yes.
So but you're happy, you're okay with that. You'd write about quite a lot about drinking. And
yeah.
People who drink, I agree with you. Up to a point, people who drink like and can stop drinking and just drink one.
Yeah.
That is kind of weird.
I don't understand it. I'm sort of jealous of it, I think. But then this is my first drink, and I don't think I'm going to have another one after this.
Right. So you've become everything
I've become everything I hate.
I think when I was drinking, the perfect amount of drink, and then you like Guinness, and I like Guinness, and the perfect amount of drink was 1.5 pints of Guinness.
Nice.
You could leave the pub, and you would feel nice, and you wouldn't feel terrible.
Yeah.
But you never, if you drink one, you never stop at 1.5. You don't have a pint of Guinness and then half a pint of Guinness.
Well, mainly because those half pints of Guinness look so stupid. They are, I this is an obvious thing to say, but it's just a really little Guinness.
Especially if you've just drunk a big Guinness.
Yeah, if you drunk a big Guinness and then you get the little Guinness, you're like, fucking hell, what's happened here?
Yeah.
Feel massive.
But you're not a fan of beer. You say in the book, although you drank a beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you really believe that nobody likes it, really? I mean, there is an element of that.
I think you have to you have to train yourself to like beer. So then do you actually like it? I'm not sure. But I definitely had to train myself to like beer because that's the most accessible thing when you start drinking as a teenager, as I did, is, you know, 4 cans of Foster's for £5, whatever. And you have a sip and you're like, wow, that's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, I had exactly the same thing. Do you think kids these days have that rite of passage, or have the laws become too strong that it doesn't happen now for kids?
From what I've heard, like, boozing as a kid is less. It's less of a thing now. They're all, you know, vaping and frigging each other online.
I started drinking when I was 13,
yeah, same here. Yeah,
and I was drinking in pubs when I was 14.
Yeah,
the first beer I bought, we came to London as the Kings of Wessex Brass Band came to London to perform at on the South Bank in the Queen Elizabeth Hall. I think we were one of the Purcell rooms. I think we were, and we had an afternoon, and we went to a supermarket. And they decided I looked the oldest, and I looked so young. I looked young even when I was like 18. I was like 13 or 14, and we bought four cans of warm Heineken.
Warm?
Yeah, because they didn't have like, they often just had like, in those days, when I was a kid, you'd take a moment and put them in your own fridge, or just drink them warm. They weren't in fridges.
See, four cans.
And we all drank a can, and it was fucking horrible. And to be honest, Heineken still tastes the same as that to me now.
Yeah, it's not good beer, I don't think. No, I mean, I enjoy a pint now and again, but I used to neck lager. I used to, I could drink, I think one night I drank up to 20 pints of lager. But I was a big guy as well, so. But now, absolutely not. Like, it just fills me up. It gives me a full tummy, Richard.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think about the most I ever. There was a thing at our college where you were meant to drink eight pints before 8 o'clock.
A.M.
P.M.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah. Well, you could do it before 8 a.m. as we're starting out. But yeah, 8 before 8. So that's a gallon of beer.
Yeah, it's too much beer.
Yeah.
We did a thing at our school, a horrible posh school, where when you finished when you graduated, there were like these pubs that went all through, it was in Wimbledon, through Wimbledon Village, and then there was a hill that went up to Wimbledon Common, and you basically had to run and drink one pint, run to the next pub, down another pint, and just, and then run all the way across the Common. There's people just chucking up immediately. I think I'd lasted two pubs. I was nearly sick in a pram and then went home.
It's sort of interesting. I mean, it's sort of Roman, isn't it? To be like forcing yourself to vomit.
Yeah, and then
the vomiting is part of the experience.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like being sick. I know it's a controversial statement, but I don't like vomiting.
I think I nearly killed myself drinking like a couple of times. Mm. So after my finals, we were drinking like champagne and Emma Kennedy, she was Emma Williams then, turned up with a bottle of whiskey after that. So like some people turned up with champagne to give you, you'd finish your finals. She gave me a bottle of whiskey, like a full bottle of whiskey, which I then drank like it was champagne.
Oh, Richard.
And I remember sitting on the toilet in the bar. We went to a bar, drank some more. I remember going to the toilet, sitting on the toilet and throwing up on the floor of the toilet. And there was just like a sea of sick in front of me. And the barman came in and obviously word had got round. And he just said, oh, fucking hell, just get out. I was just sick everywhere. And then then we walked down the road. It was really early still. And we were heading for, we're going to have a curry and more lager.
Oh, no.
And something in my head just went, go left and go home rather than go straight on. And I woke up with the worst hangover I've ever had in my life. I think if I'd gone for that curry, I would have died on the night. And the tragedy of that, if you die after you've taken your finals, you don't get an automatic first like you do if you die before your finals.
Is that the rules?
Yeah, yeah. If you die before your finals, they'd give you a first. I mean, come on. Not so bad. But
you die after you've taken your finals, they still mark the papers.
Yeah, they'll mark it and you'll get a smart. So, you know, imagine what my life would be if I died that night and got a first. How different things would have panned out for me. I got a 2-1, but, you know, it could have been a first.
What a life you would have had.
And another time we were drinking Scrumpy. I was with my Somerset mates and we were drinking Scrumpy in somewhere like Chiswick or something like that. Yeah. I don't think it was Chiswick, but well, hello. I would down pints. I did 4 pints of Scrumpy.
Were you just like
end.
Proving you weren't posh because you went to Oxford?
I did, yeah, but I wasn't posh. I was with my normal comprehensive.
Exactly, but then at Somerset, Oxford, guys, you're drinking champagne.
I was
whiskey.
Drinking whiskey and champagne. Yeah, okay, fair enough. So I was drinking Scrumpy like we did in the old days, and I drank so much that I then passed out. Went back for a party, and I passed out outside the toilet. Common theme. And again, I think I nearly died. And I think it was like an adult in the house because we were adults, but not really. And he said, "Oh, that young boy fell asleep." I was like a 22 year old man.
But you look
passed
young.
Out. Yeah, I was long. I was young, but still, I got served.
I'm glad you don't drink anymore, Richard.
Yeah, it was a lot. I drank a lot, but I don't know if I'll come back to it. But you'd say the chapter about wine's quite interesting because you've sort of turned into. Like everything you hate with wine.
Well, that's a regular thing that's happened to me throughout my life is I actively make fun of things, but it turns out it's because I'm defensive because I know that I want to be that thing. So I used to make fun of my dad all the time for, you know, swirling wine around the glass and smelling it and telling me what it smelled like. It's fucking wine, Dad, shut up. And now I'm swirling the glass.
Yeah.
I'm smelling it. I'm going, oh, petrol.
Have you ever smelt petrol?
Yeah, that's a genuine tasting note, especially in Rieslings. I'm going to shut up now.
But in the whole thing with the wine, but also with food, you are such a connoisseur. You know, like you and James are going out eating in very nice restaurants.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah.
It's a real hobby.
Yeah.
You know, we're into it.
Yeah.
But that's all right, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's someone's got to go to those restaurants. I mean, I go to like a posh restaurant, I'd say about once a year. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't feel too bad about spending a ridiculous amount of money on tiny portions of food. And they are, you know, it's good. But would you say you're doing that regularly? I mean, you're doing a show, you're doing a TV show.
Semi-regularly. I mean, I'd get a lot of that on Great British Menu, which is fantastic. So I scratch that itch. And obviously they don't make you pay for it at the end of it.
That's true.
If anything, they pay me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a lot of fun.
I mean, I've been on Sunday brunch 9 times, so, you know.
Have you been on 9 times?
Been on 9 times.
I was on it yesterday. This is only my second time. Do you have the silver mug?
No, because they've only started doing that after I'd been on. So like they don't retrospectively go back. I'm furious about it.
Of course you are. This is like pointless all over again.
I get the gold or whatever it is at 10. If I go on again,
yeah,
I'll get like a gold mug, I think.
Are you going on to promote the Bulls book?
Yeah, probably. Well, I've been on for the Bulls book. I'll probably go on for the Bulls tour, I expect. How did you get on yesterday
It's such a weird... Because I normally do a radio show on Sunday morning, so yeah. I've not been able to do Sunday brunch for, like, 5 years, but we did a pre-record of the radio show, and they asked me to go on. And it is such a weird experience, isn't it?
It is.
Like, I didn't really know who was going to be on, and I was just sat next to Tony Hadley.
Tony Hadley, True.
Yeah.
Who sang True at all my school discos. I mean, you know, on record.
Yeah, yeah. This is an iced tea situation, isn't it?
Rick Buckler from The Jam once played in our school hall, but I didn't go. I genuinely remember going, but then I read my diary and I didn't go. I don't remember everything about it. I didn't go.
Yeah, so quite a bizarre feeling to just be sat next to Tony Hadley.
Yeah. You had good people. I've had a load of rubbish when I've been on. No,
who have you?
I can't even remember who half of them are.
I'm sure they all remember you, Richard.
I just try and sit back. And when I was drinking, I just tried to eat and drink as much as I could without and say as little as possible. It's quite a good gig. You get nice food there.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's worth going
food.
Back for the grub.
Very, very good.
What's better food? Sunday brunch or Great British Menu? Very different,
I'd say. Okay. Great British Menu, they get asked to do a lot, the chefs. So they're cooking at a very high level anyway in their kitchens. A lot of them are Michelin star chefs. And even if they're not, they've got amazing restaurants. But then also they have to put their dishes to a theme. So the theme of this year's series is the Olympics and Paralympics, because obviously it's coming up this year. And we're picking that as well. So we're sort of going, oh, well, the food's really nice, but, you know, it doesn't look enough like a javelin. So there's... You know, if I was one of them, I'd be fucking livid all of the time. I'm sorry. It doesn't look enough like a javelin.
Is the Traitors Uncloaked? I've never watched Traitors.
Well, don't start with Uncloaked.
Okay.
Because that's what my dad did. My dad called me and went, oh, I've seen that new show you're doing, The Traitors Uncloaked. I went, okay. He went, I didn't really like it. I went, Dad, have you seen The Traitors? He went, oh, no. Of course you didn't like it. It was probably fucking nonsense. Yes, that is an absolute dream job because I loved the first series of The Traitors. And all I thought after that was, I wish they did an extra show where people are discussing it. Because it's one of those shows where you watch it, if you guys have seen it, that afterwards you're like, there's so much I want to discuss with people or I want to see other people discussing. So to be asked to do it is an absolute dream. Yeah. Love it. They said it's a podcast, but it's going to be on TV, and they've started calling it a visualised podcast.
Yeah.
I'm yet to tell them that is a TV show.
Are you still doing that podcast where you talk about Taskmaster? Are you still doing that?
Yes, the Taskmaster podcast. Yeah. Still doing that. Because we've done all of the historical episodes now, so we'll be back on that when the new series comes out.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll get you back on, Richard.
Good, I'd love to come back on. There's three Champion of Champions now on Taskmaster.
Three Champion of Champions.
And three alpha, very alpha men.
Okay.
I would say.
Let's run through them for me, the alpha men.
The Josh Widdicombe.
Mm-hmm.
Me.
Yeah.
Daro Breen.
Yeah.
Very alpha.
I mean, Daro is the most alpha.
I think he's the alpha of those three.
Of course he is. He could literally... He could pick you up, put you on Josh's shoulders, and then with his hand, just squash both of you.
Sort of a shame another little bloke didn't do it, because then we could have just been like the hobbits. The hobbits.
You could have all got on each other's shoulders and put one big coat on.
do you think they'll do a champion of champions? Ed, with your insight, because I've got another chance of having another crack at this.
I think they probably will. And I don't see any reason why it wouldn't run that long. It would be a shame to not do it because it's a really funny joke to do champion of champions. It's like one of your routines.
It is. If I die, before the champion of champions, you can be me.
Thank you very much. I'm pretty sure that you won't have the say on who replaces you.
I'll write it in my will. Look, I've got a Taskmaster Champion of Champions.
That's good.
Special edition.
I did something for Taskmaster Education the other day.
Yeah.
And I won. And it was literally children judging it. And I saw the video and punched the air and said, fuck yes. I was like, I'm glad I don't have to go back on that show. I don't think it's good for my mental health.
It's still doing it, isn't it? It's still delivering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just keep getting more and more interesting casts of people on as well. So, yeah, I'm buzzing for the next series. I think it's going to be great.
Dara's unbeatable, would you say?
I think, yeah, he's pretty much unbeatable. Yeah. He's a very, very smart man, hugely competitive, no matter what he says, because he does try and deny that. But he is, yeah, I'd say, at the moment, completely unbeatable. Mm. Yeah. I beat him on House of Games the night... House of Games night. Do you remember that? They did like sort of later versions of it.
Oh no, I didn't.
Yes, I beat him on that and he wasn't happy. Right. So he wants to win, you know?
That's good. I'm a champion of champion on House of Games as well.
Yeah, I've never been invited back to do the champions, and I think I'm third or fourth in the league table of best scorers on House
of Games. Again, with those things, you can't really take that because it depends who you're up against. And if you're up against a load of duffers...
I wasn't up against... Well, Adrian Edmondson, he's a smart guy, you know?
Well, I think, you know, he's getting on a bit. he's not engaged. He's great. His book's fantastic, by the way. But he's, you know, he's not interested.
They started getting people back on who've won one episode and calling them champions.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I had to contend with on my champions.
It's fucking outrageous.
Absolutely.
I think Nish went back on. He won one episode. And on his original week of House of Games, he answered a question and said that chickens produce milk. The champion.
Angela Barnes unbeatable in House of Games, though.
Yeah, she's top. Yeah, she's top of that league table that you don't acknowledge. Yeah. So
she's unbeatable.
Yeah.
I want to go up against her to find out.
Yeah.
See if I can find a crack in the facade.
But then when you lose to her, what will you say?
I'll say, you know, that's what I expected. It's all right. It's all good. I'm going to ask... I was looking through the website. There's a website called Rahulastapa.com.
Just checking we're done talking about my book now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might go back to it. How many hours...
Book club!
How many? It's just so I can put out some of these a bit earlier.
Yeah, fine. Call it a book club. Yeah, the book came out in October.
How do you... when you're writing a book...
Yeah.
What's it like? Do you like...
Yeah, I like
it. Would you like writing a book or... being a character in someone else's book, which is what do you prefer out of those two?
Hang on. I like writing a book or being a character in someone else's book?
What do you prefer out of those?
Well, I don't know. I'm...
You're a character in my book.
What do you mean?
In my book, Can I Have My Ball Back? You're the character, Ed Gamble. You're in my book.
Am I?
Yeah.
I've not read it.
I write about Taskmaster Champion of Champions, which I did... 3 weeks after I'd had a testicle removed.
Yes.
And I still was the best.
Still the best, yeah. It's all... But I wouldn't say there was anything that would have necessarily impeded you.
Well, I've been in hospital 3 weeks before having an operation. That was quite... I was told to rest
before
you
filmed the tasks before the tasks.
So I had to pick up loads of pipes when we were trying to get that duck into... Oh, sorry to mention ducks.
Yeah.
Into the punt.
Fucking ducks are following me around.
Yeah, they are. And Alex said he'd help me if there was any lifting. So yeah. I said, I'm not really allowed to lift and I can't go on any bicycles or anything like that. They said wait for 4 weeks before you do anything. And I went and I was so committed to Taskmaster. I did 3 weeks. So I wrote about Taskmaster.
So I'm a character in your book.
You're a character. So do you prefer writing books or being a character? Being a character in my book of a villain, I would say, in my book.
I won't see how much money I get from being a character in your book, okay. Richard. Yeah, and then
when you publicised your book,
yes,
you went out in an ice cream van.
I did.
What was that like?
It was genuinely good fun, actually. Like that was the publishers came up with that idea. Obviously, that was like a PR idea, going in an ice cream van. I was so busy at that point that I was like, oh, fuck this, going out in an ice cream van. And then when we got in the ice cream van, I realised I couldn't look sort of depressed or tired because I'm in an ice cream van. And then I relaxed into it and it was great fun. We basically went round to like newspaper offices to drop off copies of the book and hand out free ice creams.
Yeah.
And then we went to Josh Widdicombe's house and we went to Lou Sanders' house and Ian Sterling's house, a few other people. But when we were dropping them off at the papers, it was like 9 a.m. So people were going, I want fucking ice cream at 9 a.m. But then we got to the Independent and someone came out to pick up the book. And they were like, oh, thank you, your ice cream. Then word got around the office that, not that Ed Gamble's there giving out his book, that there's someone giving out free ice cream. So I had a queue going all the way back to the building. I worked a full shift as an ice cream man. I was going, do you want the book? They were like, what? No, it's ice cream. Have you got any of the blue sauce? It was, honestly, I think that might be my next career.
Yeah.
Being an ice cream man. It was a great day.
I would have, certainly as a kid, I'd have loved that. Did you at any point just put your mouth underneath the Mr. Whippy and just...
I think I did do it for a photo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, you do that straight away, would you?
Straight away, saying, I would, and definitely my son would do that.
Yeah.
My son, when you get whipped cream... It was my daughter's birthday at the weekend, and we don't do it very often, but when he just squirted it into his mouth, he said, it's Phoebe's birthday. Can I have the whipped cream in my mouth? So I filled his mouth with whipped cream.
He said, it's Phoebe's birthday. Yes. Can I have the whipped cream in my mouth?
So that was the way of celebrating. So I said, that'll now be a tradition where if it's someone's birthday, you can have a mouthful of whipped cream. It's really good fun squirting him. That's what I'm going to miss when they grow up. Just filling their mouth with cream. It's not fun doing to an adult. Not fun in their sexy game, is it? It's fun when they get a little child.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was so happy.
How long are you holding the button?
It's not until, you know, it's a choking risk. If it comes out of his nose.
Yeah, just, and his eyes crying cream everywhere. Yeah.
He loved it. But he would definitely do that with ice cream if he knew that was a possibility.
I love the idea of you and your son... a travel show, maybe.
Yeah.
Like Bradley Walsh and his son, but it's just you and your son in an ice cream van.
It's quite a good idea.
Yeah.
Like with a six-year-old as well. And the thing is, he is exactly the same as me when I was six. He looks like me.
That's not a problem at all.
And he's exactly the same. You see photos of the two of us, he looks just the same as me.
Yeah.
And he is the same person as I was. And it's like a punishment for me. It's like God has punished me by going, this is what you were. Now you've got to fucking deal with it. Let's see how you like it. He's great, but...
Do you regularly say you're a punishment for God?
Yeah, I do tell him. He's very sensitive like me. He's very sensitive. He's very scared about a zombie apocalypse.
I wasn't
so scared about that, but he's very scared about a zombie apocalypse.
Who's told him about a zombie apocalypse?
You know, you've got to tell them about the dangers in the world so they're ready. He's scared that, I think this is from watching something on TV. I think this is from watching Henry Danger. He is scared that we're not, he says to me, are you Richard? They both start calling me Richard, my kids.
Are you Richard?
I go, yeah.
Are you Richard?
Yeah. And I go, yes, I am. And then he won't, and we've had to get a code together, which is at the moment, oh, well, if I tell you the code, then someone else could pretend.
So you don't need to say the code, but he's worried that you're a clone or like a cyborg.
Yeah.
So he has to check if you're Richard.
Yeah. But his way of doing it is going, are you Richard? And if I say yeah, that he's usually happy.
But has he not worked out that a cyborg...
That's why we've got a code now. Yeah. But I think I forgot the code and I said, what's the code? And he told me and then I said... So we've got an easier code now.
Yeah.
I won't say it, because even though they don't look like me, some of these weirdos would use that code against him.
But the cyborg clone, if it's AI, right, would be able to work out from knowing you what the code that you've come up with.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
And it's not a very good code.
No.
it's basically password. Yeah. but in child's...
It's whatever he can say with a mouthful of cream, right?
Ah, that'd be nice. Yeah, you could afford to have an ice cream van. You could have that all the time.
I could do, but I think it would look like I was having a mental breakdown.
I think if I had as much money as you, I'd have an ice cream. I'd have a fleet of ice cream vans. And I wouldn't charge anyone for ice creams or let them have any.
Yeah. So what you've done here, you've imagined how much money you think I have. And you said if you had that amount, you would buy a fleet of ice cream vans, not charge anyone,
yeah,
but not let anyone have any.
I wouldn't let them have any either, but no. I wouldn't charge for it. I would drive around with the music going.
Yeah.
And occasionally stop. And if anyone, if anyone queued up for an ice cream, they'd just see me underneath the machine. Fill in my mouth,
yeah.
And then I would just get in the front
to drive off. And then the big board that normally has all the ice creams on it,
yeah,
is just pictures of you filling your mouth up. I swear.
But I wouldn't charge anyone for looking.
You wouldn't charge.
I like ice cream.
Yeah?
Good, yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't think there's an ice cream I wouldn't eat.
Really?
Yeah. I'd have a go at any ice cream.
Any ice cream in the
any
world.
Ice cream. It could be cat. If it was cat spunk ice cream,
you'd,
I'd have,
you'd
I'd
still
definitely
have, that.
Have a crack at that.
You'd have a crack
long
at
as
that.
As long as there's some sugar and stuff in it, I'm not sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it would, there would have to be sugar in it.
Yeah, but it's not ice cream.
Yeah. It would just be feta ice cream.
There was
cream.
Feta,
that's a good
would
shout.
Have feta
I have
ice
had
cream.
Like some...
Well, that might
like
be the solution to
blue
feta.
Blue cheese ice cream and stuff.
If feta was ice cream, that's what I'm. That is actually what I'm looking for.
Is that
it
not,
wouldn't be
is it not
feta,
too
it?
Much feta?
No, it would be ice cream, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it's not just feta if it's in a... Okay, I can't remember the words.
They put a Greek salad with feta ice cream in it. That's really nice.
A Greek salad with feta ice cream
yeah.
in it.
Be nice. Don't know if I talked to you about this before. I've got a problem. You talk about salted caramel, and it's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I've got a problem with salted caramel.
Go on.
You know what my problem is?
What?
There's no fucking salt in it.
What?
There's no salt in salted caramel.
What are you on about?
It's just caramel. They call it salted caramel. There's not enough salt in it. There should
okay,
be more.
But there is salt in it. But
not enough that you could
so
taste
you've immediately
it.
Gone back on that.
They need to put salt. They need to put a proper amount of
it's
salt.
It's not salt. It's not salty enough for you.
Still, whenever I have it, I just go, it's just caramel. I just had salted caramel. I went to Pizza Express before the show.
Yeah.
Treated myself.
I had a Pizza Express last night.
Do you?
I think it's severely underrated now. I think there's so many fancy pizzas out there, and which I like most of them.
Yeah.
But I think people are forgetting about Pizza Express. It's a classic. It tastes nostalgic. It tastes like swimming.
See, for me, like Pizza Express came in. Well, it was in, but when I discovered it,
yeah,
that was like, this is quite a classy date.
Yeah.
I'm not taking you to Pizza Hut. No, my friend. We're going to Pizza Express.
I think it's
we're
still
have the
I think
time
it's still
of our lives.
It. Yeah, because they've got those stone tables. There's the one in Soho that does live jazz.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but I had a Bosco salad, but then I thought I'm going to have some ice cream. And then, what's good about Pizza Express? If you join the club, you get a load of free shit. You basically just if you're there on if you go on your out on your own, they give you like free dough balls. If you're in the Pizza Express Club and you get gold...
Is the Pizza Express Club people they feel sorry for?
No. There's an app. If you eat enough pizzas...
Yeah.
They get, when I go there all the time with my kids, so we're gold.
Yeah.
We briefly went down to silver. I couldn't understand it because we go there all the time. I was furious. And you get less stuff. But you get a bottle of water. It's proper still...
Lovely.
Like mineral water.
Yeah.
You can have a free hot drink.
Yeah.
You can have a free kids meal. Monday through Thursday. You can fucking clean up. If you go on your own,
yeah,
they're not expecting it. They're expecting you to turn up with a date or a family or stuff. I went out a Bosco salad, free garlic bread or garlic balls, free bottle of water. Could have had a Diet Coke, didn't. At the end, I didn't really want a coffee, but it was a free coffee.
But you know when they say it's you, they remove one dough ball.
I want to tell you the story of what happened to me in Pizza Express today.
Fantastic.
I didn't want a coffee. I'd had loads of coffee today, but it's free.
Yeah.
Got to have it. So I just said, with my ice cream, can I have an espresso?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. No. Because I went to go to the app and you tick the things you've had. The hot drink was not there. It was not available. She put it as part of the dessert. I was paying £3.25
right.
for my espresso. I didn't want to. I wanted it. I wouldn't have had it if it wasn't free. So there was a very busy restaurant,
yeah.
and I had to say, am I just going to pay and leave? Am I going to pay and take through £3.25 off the tip? I feel I should maybe do that because she's let me down. So I said to her, can you take the coffee? Oh, and she said, I have to ask my manager to do that. So
yeah.
Please do that. She took so long, I thought, this is ridiculous. I can afford an espresso.
Yeah, why didn't you think that immediately?
Because I hadn't been waiting for 10 minutes for her to do it. So I'd put less tip in, but not £3.25.
Are you fucking kidding? You put less tip in?
I took 2.5% off the tip.
Richard! You should have added more tip for making her go and ask your stupid fucking question.
But as I was trying to pay, she came with the manager and they started taking the discount. But I was already at the point where I was playing with Apple Pay. I've blown everything. But it wouldn't let me pay, and then I got to do it again, and I got it, and then I gave her more of a tip.
Yeah.
So it was a very exciting time.
You looked at me so proudly there, as if to say, what a great guy I am, using tips as punishment.
I was going to say, you take the coffee off, you can have that.
But too much salt in salted caramel.
Too much salt. There needs to be some salt in it.
You like salty foods?
I think salted caramel needs to taste salty, and it very, very rarely tastes salty. It tastes of caramel. They're tricking you.
They're not. Calling
it salted caramel, and it's not got any salt in it. I can't believe you haven't noticed that you're meant to be a foodie. Fucking hell, we've done a long time. Right, it's gone on a lot longer than I thought it would. I didn't think we'd have an hour and 5 minutes in this. What's the... Before you go... there was something I wanted to ask. There was one of the questions.
About something else?
There was something I asked Rosie backstage I thought I'd got to ask. Oh, yeah, if you... this is it, roughly. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna open it up. It said 2016. If you had to have sex with the corpse of any dead celebrity... You had to.
Yeah.
It was in 2016, but I think that's too hard. It says any celebrity who died in 2016, but I think that's too hard to remember.
People don't really remember.
So any celebrity that's died ever, but they'll be in the state of decay that commensurate. They won't. We can't just say it's Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe will be like a skeleton.
At what point do you think I go, ooh, Marilyn Monroe? A dead Marilyn Monroe.
But who would you have sex with that?
Well, it would definitely be someone who's a skeleton, right?
Well, no, it could be someone who's recently passed.
Yeah, but that's even grosser.
They don't need to have skin on and stuff. That's why it's a good question, because... Rosie Jones chose Queen Elizabeth I.
That's a great answer. She's a skeleton, I'm going to say. Elizabeth I,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's definitely, definitely the skeleton, the Virgin, right? Queen.
Yeah. I guess maybe like... like a mummy, like a pharaoh mummy.
Oh, yeah, good, yeah.
Because...
You bore a hole in.
Well, that whole sort of... You know, I'm not particularly masculine, but you know when, like, lads go, oh, absolutely destroyed her? Like, you could really destroy a pharaoh.
Yeah.
One thrust, he's gone to ash. Fine, Savile, see how he likes it.
That's how I was just reading my book. It's really good. Just reading it. The question I was going to ask you, this might not be as good as the one about the dead body. Yep. It probably isn't. What's the strangest thing you've ever found in your junk email?
In my junk... Yeah, maybe it won't be as good as the...
All right, I'll ask you this then. I'll ask you this instead. This is a...
This is the only podcast I do where I feel knackered after it.
It's hard. Imagine how I feel. I have to do two in 2 weeks. I was doing fucking... Luckily, I was meant to be in Bedford on Thursday.
Don't you just leave your glasses on when you talk to me? Every time.
Because I want to
You take your
you.
Glasses off, look at me, glasses on, look at the
They're
book.
Reading glasses, I can't see you. I was meant to be in Bedford on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
This is a little trade secret. Don't tell anyone. I do more than one a week. If I'd done that Bedford, I'd have done 8 interviews in 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, the Bedford Corn Exchange has flooded and that gig has been postponed for a month. I'm fucking cock-a-hoop about it. It's too many podcasts. You can't do 8 podcasts in 8 days.
We've done more than that.
Yeah, it's terrible. I've done more than that.
All right, we've done more than right. that.
I've had iced tea on one of my podcasts.
No. No, you haven't.
If you had to bathe in excrement, if I had to,
yeah.
What animal or individual human's excrement would you choose to bathe in?
Oh, okay, so it's, yeah, animal or a specific human.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because animals' feces really is not pleasant, broadly.
Yeah.
But then I'm sure there's some that have some sort of...
Horse?
That's an animal, yeah.
Nice excrement.
Difficult to bathe in, though. It's quite dry a lot of the time, isn't it?
I don't think you're trying to get clean.
Yeah, but you don't bathe in it. That would just be buried in it, wouldn't you? So, like,
well,
cow...
So you're thinking it's going to be some diarrhoea, is that...
Well, cow and horse, I guess, is largely grass and hay-based. Yeah. So maybe a cow.
Okay. Maybe you put a bit of water in there to get it...
Yeah, I want to slop around a bit. For sure.
Cool. I've written bit by bit here for some reason. I don't know what that's about.
All done?
No, I want to ask you to tell us about your current tour that you're doing.
Yes. When's this going out? March.
Like, it's going out next month. So.
Yeah, so it starts on March 12th, so it's probably perfect. It's called Hot Diggity Dog. Okay. It's going all over the UK and... not all over Ireland. Dublin. So, yeah, it's a new stand-up show.
Yeah.
It's funny, man.
Good. Go and see it.
Oh, boy. So funny.
I think we've covered how you wrote Ed Gamble Glutton.
We have covered why I wrote Ed Gamble Glutton, yeah.
The multi-course life of a very greedy boy.
Yes.
How did they get your head off to put in that picture like that? That trick photography.
How did they? No, it was a table with a hole cut in it, and I went below it, and I got Sony messages.
So why did they cut your head off? There was a table with a hole, and you could have just put your head through the hole.
Well, this is the table to which I'm referring, Richard. Oh, okay. I put my head through the table, and they surrounded it with snacks, and then we got loads of messages after going, why didn't you just do it on a computer? It looks exactly the same.
Did you eat any of those snacks?
We actually, there's an app you can use to make sure stuff actually goes to people who want it.
Wow.
So we made sure everyone actually used those snacks properly.
What, the ones that are touching your chin?
Yeah, they got money. We sold them. People love that. On the app, people will come and lick my chin and stuff. It was lovely.
Did any go in your weird small ears?
The only thing that would fit in there is a single 100,000.
Look, it's always lovely to have you on.
Always lovely to be on, Richard.
For you to get to see what it's like to do a podcast with a decent audience. It must be nice.
Yes, you've been very nice. Thank you. It's lovely to...
They're a nice crowd. You know, there might not be enough to fill the Albert Hall in here tonight. Possibly. It's arguable.
Let me have a look.
But there...
Maybe not.
But, you know, when you do your podcast there, now we know how many arseholes it takes to fill the Albert Hall.
So proud of yourself today.
I just thought of it. That's why I'm proud.
Yeah, it's good.
If I'd planned it, it would have been a terrible thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. The amazing... Buy his amazing book, Ed Gamble Glutton.
Cheers,
Ed
guys.
Gamble, thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahalastapa for Book Club with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Ed Gamble. Scant regard, I'm playing this music right now. Groove on down, my friend. I'm indebted to my friend, Chris Evans, not that one, to his progeny and sexcrement, Ben Evans, not that one. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre for having us back this one more time. Then we're going to come back again, and I hope in the future. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.